remote work, remote school, remote doctor visits. That's been the pandemic in my house. And in the medical space, more and more of us are using chatbots. These are online software programs to take patient questions and spit out digital answers. Like, you may need an appointment. You need to see a cardiologist. You should go to the ER. Well, one chatbot on the market is called Scout, and the company it comes from is Giant, G-Y-A-N-T. Giant CEO Stefan Behrens is on the line with us, and hi, Stefan.
Scott, pleasure to be on.
Now, Stefan, we've all interacted with airline chatbots over the phone, shopping chatbots online. How does Scout work?
Scout works just like you would interact with when you pick up the phone and call the front desk of your doctor's office or the contact center. It'll ask you what you're trying to accomplish, whether you want to book an appointment or refill a prescription, and then help you get that done.
Right. And so this is a matter of I just go up and say, I have these symptoms. This is my temperature. I haven't had this. Yes, I've had that. And then I have a conversation with the chatbot, and the chatbot says, okay, you need to go see this specialist. That's the idea.
Yeah, pretty much. Some people may be familiar with this process when they call and talk to a nurse to do triage. So the nurse will ask questions on what is your chief complaint, so whether that is a fever or if your son has a cough, and then ask additional questions to determine, you know, the urgency at which you need to see a provider and what the best place of care is for you. And we essentially take that same experience and turn it into a chat. And then at the end of the chat, we present the best care options for you, including some information on whether it's included in your insurance or how much your out-of-pocket pay is going to be, to give you all the information you need to make a decision.
Stefan, tell me about the pandemic then. Of course, all kinds of hospitals and providers went to remote solutions. Were you just swamped with requests by your clients?
Last year was a big turning point, I think, because these types of technologies, the more innovative and like forward-thinking organizations were already exploring these types of technologies, but I think the mainstream had not, warmed up to them yet. And then last year, they kind of had no choice. They were getting swamped with phone calls about the same topics that they were having difficulty staffing. Nurses were needed elsewhere rather than sitting on the phone and answering the same questions of patients. So it was just a perfect storm to drive adoption of these kind of new technologies. And now I think over the last year and a half, we've seen just what kind of an impact they can have in terms of access for patients, but also reducing the burden on the very scarce resources and overworked nurses and frontline providers on health systems.
Now, automation, of course, brings this last question I have for you, and that's the jobs question. We're in the middle in this somewhat slow economic recovery in some sectors, a jobs issue, especially in the service sector. How do you answer the charge? I'm sure you must get it at some point that, okay, here's another machine that's going to take over for a human.
Yeah, I think that's a valid concern. Although I think if you talk to many providers and healthcare organizations today, they have the opposite problem. They don't have enough nurses. They don't have enough qualified providers. They have real trouble finding enough staff to keep the lights on and clinics open. And, no wonder after a year and a half of just grueling pandemic work, and where a lot of providers have probably also made the choice and said, like, is this still for me? Right. So I think there are a lot of activities that I think are just purely administrative and that are overly complicated and burdensome. And you can, free providers, nurses, and other medical staff off these burdens and bring maybe some of the joy back to the profession.
All right. The automated chatbot is called Scout. It comes from the company Giant, and Stefan Behrens is the CEO of Giant. Stefan, thanks for taking the time.
Scott, you're welcome. Thanks so much.
Let's turn now to Adam Palanica. He is a scientist at Click Applied Sciences, and he conducted a survey of 100 physicians who have used chatbots. Adam, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let's go to that study here. You talked to 100 physicians about their thoughts on chatbots. Looks like you found some pluses, some minuses. So first, perhaps the pluses and how they might be able to lighten the load. Tell us what you found.
Right. So in general, what we found is that physicians agree that chatbots do have a place in the healthcare system, specifically for kind of routine things, a lot of administrative and logistical tasks, such as scheduling doctor's appointments or finding healthcare clinics within someone's area, applying medication adherence reminders, giving nutrition information or exercise regimens or things that could be done on a routine basis. And so basically physicians agreed that chatbots do have a place in the healthcare system, specifically for kind of routine things that don't involve a nuanced human expert touch, if you will. And those same physicians agreed that anything that involves a really empathetic, one-on-one kind of personal treatment of care for that patient, that's where the physician would be much more effective than a chatbot, because physicians in general take a very holistic approach and they try to look at more nuanced structures within unique individual patients, including family history and sociological variables and that sort of thing.
I mean, you mentioned this human touch kind of interaction. Do you have, I guess, an example or two that illustrates really something where you actually want a human on the other end of even a basic conversation?
Yeah, one of the big things that came out is anything that involves understanding a human emotion. So not just the words that come out of somebody's mouth, but the tone, the body language. And that's where physicians believe that they would have a much more effective application of treatment for that particular patient.
Did you find any concern about this technology potentially making a mistake? I mean, right now, it seems like it's kind of early conversations and, okay, perhaps you need to go see a doctor now, or perhaps you should look in this area. But was there any concern that you found in your study that, you know, if we go too far, they could direct patients in the wrong direction?
Yes. So that's one of the concerns that came out from the research was that physicians did believe that if chatbots were overapplied, then patients may overdiagnose themselves, or they just might take the information for granted without understanding the holistic situation of what's going on. And of course, a physician is going to ask a multitude of different questions, again, about family background and genetics and sociological history and that sort of thing. Whereas a chatbot may not. A chatbot may only ask very acute kind of proximal questions of what's related in that moment without taking into account other variables.
So can I, Adam, ask you if you're comfortable interacting in some of those contacts with a chatbot, or if you would recommend it to a family member?
You know, I've used a few chatbots myself, and ultimately, you could call me whatever you want. I still personally like talking to a human physician, because I know just from the science that a physician will take into account a multitude of different factors. So if I do ever have a medical or healthcare issue, I'm probably going to make a phone call to my doctor.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. Well, that is if you can get through to your doctor, which I guess is the point that proponents of this technology are making. You know, we did speak to an entrepreneur of a company that offers this technology. And he said when the pandemic started that his company was just swamped during COVID by customers or potential customers. You need to sign me up right now. I just don't have the human beings to be able to do some of these most basic functions. I mean, do you get a sense that that either happened during the pandemic or in the future we're going to have those moments?
There is some research out there that does suggest that people, even on a regular basis, even before COVID, many patients would call Dr. Google, for lack of a better term, and basically go on the internet and see what their symptoms could be related to. Technology is increasing all the time, and these symptom checkers or chatbots or whatever you want to call it, they're gathering thousands or millions of pieces of evidence all the time to, you know, suggest the best next steps for a particular patient. Of course, it's always recommended from pretty much any chatbot that although it does give you information, obviously the number one thing is still, according to medical guidelines, to still check in with your physician. Not to say that chatbots are wrong in any particular case, but there should be some supervision there, according to the research and according to the medical guidelines.
It sounds like it's the second opinion advice for anything, right? Even if we talk to a human, you know, we want to maybe think about whether we should check it with somebody else. It sounds like it's similar to that.
That's correct, yeah.
All right, Adam Polenica, scientist at Qlik Applied Sciences. Great to talk to you, Adam. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much for having me.